Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Uttale Shrimat Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavari Pashyatari Satarine Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadarana Sri Asade Goyatarinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadarana Shri Asadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadarana Shri Asadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadarana Shri Asadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadarana Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rambo, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rambo, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rambo, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Pidanava Kirivaradhane Jaya Gopidanava Dhava Kirivaradhane Yasuda nandana bhajanandana nana Yasuda nandana bhajanandana nana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Gopiranava Girivardhani Jaya Gopiranava Girivardhani Yasoda na 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 bhajana na 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 Yasoda na 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 bhajana na 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 Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Bihari. Shri Radha Madhava ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande. The mic has stopped, I think. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 6th chapter, entitled Jnana Yoga, text number 5. Udarit atmanat panam natmanam avasadayet admaiva yatmano bandur Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. Translation. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Purport. The word Atma denotes body, mind and soul, depending on different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nescience. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and the senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he is used for emphasizing this point. That is to say, that one must do this. It is also said, Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandamoksaya bandaya visaya sango muktai nirvisayam manaha. For man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense object is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from the sense object is the cause of liberation. Amrita Bindu Upanishad 2. Therefore, the mind, which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, is the cause of supreme liberation. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam Si Gurun Vaisnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vidamsta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyacha Sakripa Sindubhyayivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So it is stated that the mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage. It's very difficult to control the mind. It's very difficult to steer the endless flow of thoughts, because thoughts, they come on their own accord, and the mind just seems to wander here and there at its own will, rather not so much where we want it to go. It's very difficult. Nonetheless, it is stated in the second chapter of the Gita that if one wants to bring the mind under control, then visaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasu varjam rasu piyasya parandristam nivartate, that then ultimately it has to be done by a higher taste. As Krishna says in the beginning of the seventh chapter, he says, maya shaktamana parta yogi yunyan madasrayaha asansyan samagramam yatagyatsyasi tatshrinu. One should take shelter of me, and then one naturally becomes attached to me. That is the nature of the mind, actually. The mind tends to develop attachment. But material attachment are not durable. For some time we'll be attached, and then that attachment changes. Chanchalam himana Krishna. The mind is restless, changing. But when we come to Krishna, and somehow or other Krishna stays. Just 2 days ago I had a tough day because I still had to book a ticket out of Stockholm on Monday, and it's the day after this midsummer weekend, and I had no idea that it would be so difficult to get out of Stockholm the day after the midsummer weekend. Almost impossible. 700 euros, 500 euros, like that. Yes, I was looking like, wow, what's going on here? Even Ryanair, one-way flight to Germany, 225. I go like, wow, this is going to kill me. So I was trying all the tricks. When you travel a lot, then you become sort of like as good as a travel agent. So I know many tricks, many tricks. So I tried all the tricks, and none worked. So the result was I spent so long behind the computer just before taking rest. I thought, it's going to be a hell of a night. I'm going to sleep, and I'm going to still be sitting behind the computer while I'm sleeping. This is going to go on. This is not the thing to do before you take rest, I was thinking. But when I took rest, as soon as I closed my eyes, I wasn't even sleeping yet, and I saw many people, and they all grabbed each other's hand, and they made circles,
and their lips started moving, and I suddenly remembered the Harinam we had that day. And I could see that all those computer impressions had no chance. The Harinam impression was by far the most powerful impression of the day. By far. Because it is of a different nature. It is not the same as some mundane impression. Mundane impressions, pleasant or unpleasant, as they may be, computers in the second category, whatever they may be, they affect us. They certainly affect us. We become, by such experiences, one can become pretty agitated. I felt like doing something to the machine. But so agitation we may experience, either with a desire to enjoy, or with a desire of or with a sense of frustration. But the soul is not deeply touched by these things, because it is said that the soul does not really get directly involved in the material activities. Yes, the soul is now captured within this material body. Yes, that very same soul is obviously the source of life. When the soul is not present within a material body, there is no sign of life. But yet, although that soul is the life energy, it is not the soul that is thinking, feeling, and willing. It is particularly the mind now, the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that when the soul enters into the embodied stage, that the soul goes into a somewhat dormant state. And that at that state, it is the mind that borrows all the functions of the soul. Just like a bird, it's that an ordinary bird may borrow the feathers of a peacock and just tries to sort of show off, but of course doesn't quite make it. But in that way, showing off with borrowed plumes, thinking, feeling, and willing, the functions of the mind. This mind has simply borrowed these functions from the soul. Actually, thinking, feeling, and willing is meant to take place on the platform of the soul. That thinking, feeling, and willing is meant to be in relation with Krishna. That thinking, feeling, and willing is described like drinking with the eyes, drinking through the ears. Oftentimes the word drinking it in is used in Bhagavatam. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So that is a fact, that it is a matter of, on the spiritual plane, there is great absorption in the soul. The soul wakes up when it comes to thinking, feeling, and willing about Krishna. And that is why the impressions in relation to Krishna are so deep, so strong, amidst so many other things. We may forget, but somehow or other, these Krishna impressions are very significant. I remember all the moments that I encountered the Hare Krishna movement before I had anything seriously to do with the Hare Krishna movement. So-called casual meetings were not casual. They were sort of imprinted in my mind. I remember everything, all of these encounters. Therefore, whatever takes place in relation to Krishna or in relation to a devotee is very significant, touches us very deeply, even if we are not fully aware of it. Say, well, what is that? It touches us very deeply, even if we are not fully aware of it. Either it touches you deeply and it... Hare Krishna. I don't know how he did it. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It doesn't work with me. Hare Krishna. It's a special touch. I don't have it. Anyway, the mind. Now, in the conditioned state, anyway, maybe we should just renounce it. The best thing is to renounce the material energy when it doesn't cooperate, because the nature of the material energy is that it becomes a total distraction. And then our mind immediately becomes absorbed in these things, and everything else that was more important sort of disappears into the background. So somehow or other, we realize how deep are the impressions that we get in relation to Krishna. Even if they may not come out so much in the foreground now, we will see that in the background, actually, Krishna was all along there. All along there. Yeah. It's quite amazing. When we first hear of Lord Krishna, it may not be immediately so easy to try and accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but gradually, as we hear more and more, and we hear the arguments, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He can do anything and everything. He is unlimited, and therefore He has all opulences. Sadaisvarya Purna. He has therefore unlimited beauty. Why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He have? Makes sense. He has unlimited wealth, no limitation to His resources. Whatever He wants, it will come true. Satya Sankalpa. He has that ability that whatever He desires, it happens. So, as we are hearing these philosophical points about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, one without a second, must be, there must be only one like Him, but yet He has Ananta Rupam, unlimited forms. Why not? Why would He have only one? Achyutam. How can we ever understand Him? Makes sense. So if we hear all these qualities about the nature of the Supreme Lord, then gradually it becomes convincing. It becomes convincing. Because He must be like that. He must be the best. Right? Not some crippled God, an old man with a sour face and rheumatism, sitting on a cloud waiting to catch a sinful person. No, rather a beautiful God, and so on. So hearing about Krishna is convincing, and eventually say, yes, that must be the Supreme Lord, without a doubt. He is playing. His flute, His pastimes. He's not natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate parasya shakti vividaiva sruyate. It said He doesn't have to work. That makes sense, right? A God who has to work. Like there is a particular Christian group who believe that at one point in time, there will be the kingdom of God on earth. And they have read in the Bible that only 144,000 will go to heaven. Yeah? And they are there with God. 144,000 will go to heaven, they're there with God, and everyone else will have the kingdom of God on earth. And then when you ask him, well, what are these 144,000 doing then in heaven? What's that? He said, well, they are looking after everything together with God just to make sure that it all goes on. Or they have to work. So God and 144,000 are working in that concept. So how can we live with such kind of naive concepts? How can that ever attract us? Rather, the concept of the greatest, the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most noble, the most intelligent, right? All these qualities of Krishna, these are actually convincing us. We are hearing about Krishna's qualities, and each time that we hear something about Krishna, about what he did, there was this Kaliya serpent in the Yamuna who had poisoned the whole river and who had sort of caused the death of all the cowherd boys and calves while Krishna was away. Krishna returns, all his friends, all the calves are lying there dead. So that was heavy. But anyway, because he's the Supreme Lord, he revived them. The cowherd boys themselves were sort of realizing, we were dead, and now we are back alive. Next moment, Krishna is tightening up his dhoti, climbs in a kadamba tree, jumps into the river Yamuna. And as Krishna enters into the Yamuna, the water level is rising with half a meter. How is that possible when one person jumps in the water? Again, we're seeing here is not whoever entered here may look like just a small boy, but he is not as small as he looks, right? That was clear. Then, as Krishna is in the water, he began to make musical sounds playing with the water. I'm not sure exactly how, but I can imagine something like bloop, 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 in whatever way. At least that's how I would try. Play water. Why not? Play harmonium and then play water as well. Krishna made musical sounds in the water. Something which upset Kaliya very much. Right? Who is sporting around in my lake? From many hoots at the same time. Krishna became captured in the coils of this terrible serpent, and the cowherd boys who had just returned to life almost died again. I mean, the amount of what happened to their life airs that day, I cannot imagine how much they were, their balance was thrown off. Right? Must be something else. First you die, come back to life, then Krishna almost gets killed in front of your eyes by a monster snake. Absolutely too much. Bad omens everywhere in the sky. Mother Yasoda immediately understanding something really, really serious going on with Krishna. All the cowherd men running there, getting there on the shore, seeing Krishna in the coils of that serpent. Mother Yasoda was getting ready to go in the water and take on that snake. And the cowherd man held her back. So what a scene. And it just went on and on and on until everyone was almost dead. At the verge of like maximum anxiety. The next level was just die. And just then Krishna freed himself and started to dance on the hoots of that serpent, very expertly kicking his many hoots, right, which gave the serpent quite some headache. But it was at the same time a very elegant dance, a very elegant dance. And then Kaliya gets purified, and has the footprints of Krishna's lotus feet on his head, which will protect him from further trouble from his enemy Garuda. In short, that's amazing. That's amazing. Then Krishna sends Kaliya back to the island where he came from, Ramanaka, and so just, which is Fiji, and he still lives there.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, you can see. And there is a temple there dedicated to Krishna Kaliya. A deity of Krishna dancing on the hoots of Kaliya is there. Then in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we read that in the spiritual world, sometimes in the spiritual world, suddenly there's a rumor. And it is described that Kaliya is back. Kaliya came back. And all the residents of Vrindavan are in anxiety. Kaliya back. But this time, no poisoning, no cowherd boys dying. This time, they simply... Krishna bridles him like a horse with reins and steers him, and all the coward boys are racing up and down the Yamuna on Kaliya. So such pastimes are also described. Yes. So this is nice. This sounds like fun. Right? It doesn't sound like dry. It doesn't sound like forever with a white dress, with a trumpet or a harp, right? Eternally. I guess that's also not bad, eternally fanning the Lord. But still, the unlimited variety of pastimes is attracting the mind immediately. See? Sounds interesting. In this way, the more we hear about the quality of Krishna, the more convincing it is, yes, he must be the greatest. Then if we see how he is performing pastimes, then we say, yes, these pastimes are quite amazing. And in this way, gradually, we naturally develop a higher taste. And we naturally become attracted. So one must carefully cultivate this taste. This taste is what brought us here. We would not have come here if we would not have had a drop of that taste. We would not be here. And yet, the mind, which is materially conditioned, is pulling in another direction strongly. Each of the senses, which have their connection within the mind, are always pulling us away again and again from Krishna. And it's not so easy, to really stay constantly in Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, we are too much attracted to Krishna, we can also not stay away. So this is our situation. Spiritual life impossible, it doesn't really work very well. Material life also spoiled, right? Because even if we would try to be an ordinary material person, we can't believe in it anymore. Can't believe in it anymore. And you just believe that that's it. That's where you really be happy, right? Midsummer weekend, you'll be happy. I heard it rained. It rained the last few years at midsummer. Eddie was saying it on the way in. He says, it's amazing. It must be mystic. Every midsummer, it rains in Sweden. Right? Always like that. Just those 2 days, it rains. Any other day, the sun may shine, but those 2 days, it rains, he said. And that's it. That's what you've worked for, you saved your money for, you're using your holidays for, you're going to spend a fortune for. No wonder people get drunk. What else? But what to do, huh? What to do? So, can we believe in it? In midsummer? This is it. This is the peak of the year, midsummer. It's like, it's difficult. So once we know about Krishna, once we know about spiritual life, once we know that there's more than just this shallow, boring midsummer festivals, and so on, it's like, you know... I mean, yeah, so let's do something spiritual, and then it will be nice. Let's use this opportunity to hear about Krishna. But it really doesn't matter if you do that on midsummer or any day of the year. That doesn't matter. Right? Any day is an auspicious day to hear about Krishna, and you can... It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then we don't care about anything. Then material conditions don't matter. So this is the situation. We definitely are attracted to Krishna, and we definitely are attracted to Maya. What now? Right? What a situation to be in. It is very difficult. Very difficult. How to deal with this? Well, we must be careful, therefore. We must be careful to not lead our mind in temptation and expose it to too much influence of Maya. There's enough influence of Maya that is unavoidable this day and age. And at any time, even in the Bhagavatam, we find stories. You might think that nowadays Maya is so strong, but in the Bhagavatam we find a story that there was a Gandharva. You may know that there are beings living on higher planets. Below the planets of the demigods, right, are the planets of the Gandharvas. And these Gandharvas, they have planes that fly in the sky. Planes with, like, well, you could say balconies on it. So this particular Gandharva was flying in his plane and in the sky, and on the roof of the palace, a princess was playing with a ball. There's a flat roof on the palace, and she was playing with the ball. And the Gandharva was just looking and looking so much that he fell out of his plane. Right? So even in the Bhagavatam, we find descriptions how even in other ages, at other times, one could fall prey to the illusory energy and fall out of his plane. Right? Definitely. To the idea that let us enjoy this material world. It's back. Well, it is said that the tongue is like a desert, it is said. And no matter what, but anything mundane, right, is just like a drop of water in the desert. So what is the... It's a drop. And we'll just won't be satisfied with a drop. Says, no, but it is a very nice drop. Yes, I love these drops, maybe, but at the same time, not satisfied. No, but I'll wait for the next. This is foolishness. Foolishness. So, actually... But it said that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described how the activities of Lord Chaitanya are just so nectarian, they are like a constant flow, just like the river Ganges landing on the tongue. So this is what you want in the desert, a river flowing into your mouth, right? That's the only thing that will possibly quench your thirst. I have experience in India, in Rajasthan. You want, and even in Vrindavan in the hot season, you want to drink all the time. All the time. Every 10 minutes a glass of water. Like that. And nothing comes out. It just... So, what to say? Like the Ganges flowing onto the tongue, right? And it said, and in this Ganges there are lotus flowers, which are the lotus flowers of hearing, chanting, and dancing about Krishna. Yes. And the devotees are like the swans, like the bees, who are trying to steal the honey from these lotus flowers. So, in this way, we understand. As soon as we begin to talk about Krishna, as soon as we come together to chant and dance about Krishna, right? Then there is sweetness, there is special taste, right? And if devotees are eager to try and steal that taste by getting into it, not just by mechanically sitting there and, yeah, yes, I go to these lectures, but they don't touch me. They don't do anything with me. No. Don't just listen like a rock or a tree trunk, but be an active listener. When we speak about Krishna dancing on the hoots of Kaliya, can you see him? Can you visualize him? You see his yellow dhoti, bright, right, on the hoots of that serpent, probably greenish and gray, right? Maybe black, right? As such snakes have, sort of a dark green, gray, blackish color, dull color of a snake, but with fiery tongues, right? It said the poison that came out of the mouth of Kaliya was so hot that it was just like fire. Can you imagine? This dark snake and fire coming out of his unlimited mouth. We must hear, not just mechanically, okay, Krishna dancing on snake, dancing, lifting feet, like that. No, a little more involved, listening, visualizing. The more we are participating, the more we get absorbed, the more we forget. Therefore, sometimes we see how an actor is enacting the pastimes of Krishna. Or sometimes we even have lectures where the audience doesn't sit still on cushions, but where the audience is asked to act out the pastimes. We do that also. We read Krishna book and then everybody has to play a part. I don't know if we want to go that interactive just now. I'm not so sure. That depends on you, really. But we do it sometimes. Maybe we'll do it this weekend somewhere. It's like, I just arrived, you know. Don't want to get too active now. But it's really nice, because imagine if we would tell the story of Kaliya and someone has to become Krishna, and someone has to become Kaliya, and someone, and all the others are on the bank of the Yamuna, like dying of anxiety and so on. Yeah. It gets quite involved. So my point is that we must get involved. We must get involved. And we see how the great advanced devotees, they very much get involved. They are, when they read about Krishna, they deeply meditate. They really, really envision Krishna. I mean, just in the 10th canto, you get descriptions about the earrings of Krishna. You go like, do we have to really dedicate a whole verse to an earring? Yes, it is described in detail. Shark-shaped earring. Like that. We can visualize. In this way, with absorption, if we are trying to taste from our hearing, our chanting, our dancing, then certainly we will taste an extraordinary sweetness, no doubt. And we have to come to a point where this is constant, where this doesn't stop, where we are constantly either hearing or chanting or remembering Krishna, constantly, all the time, the whole day, make arrangements to remember Krishna, talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, read about Krishna, chant the holy name, like that, constantly. It has to come to that. That's what we're building up to, that there's no more room for anything else. Of course, then we are in the material world. And then this material world will not allow us, because that's the nature of the material world. There it goes, you know, you're just in the middle of remembering Krishna, and then the neighbor starts to cut wood with a electric saw blade, right? Right next to the wall, and it's like just... It's just after 10 minutes, it pierces, it starts to cut through your head, right? And then what to do? So it is not always so simple to just remember Krishna. But we will see that gradually the desire will develop. Like one sannyasi told me, he said, like, I can't be satisfied with just 16 rounds. Only 16. Another one said, I only start to chant my rounds after I finish 16 rounds. Which I thought was also very nice. So like that, yes, it's true. The rounds that we chant that we don't have to chant, right? But the round that we chant because we want to chant. Yes. Like that. It is a matter of becoming absorbed. Then gradually, the mind shifts. The mind shifts. Gradually, our material desires disappear. Gradually, the heart becomes purified. And then gradually, we will make advancement. So, yeah, but my mind's too restless. You were right. My mind is attracted to Maya. I can't just chant all day. I can't hear all day. I'm just not... it's just not me. No problem. There is one other option. And that is to take some practical responsibility for Krishna in devotional service. To do something practical. If you're the man with the saw blade, all right, right? Cut trees for Krishna. Why not? It's possible. Turn them into planks. That can be done in devotional service. Or milk cows. Krishna likes cows very much. Or whatever is needed for Krishna. That's also possible. And by taking responsibility in devotional service, we also become purified. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madoksaje. The impurities go out of the heart. The material attachments disappear. And when the attachment disappear, who cares? Who cares? Right? If you don't care anymore about your cell phone, right, then, you know, that's it. But if you care that you've got the latest, right, the one, you know, with the all the little special features and the the one that kisses you goodnight, right? That one, right? Then, you develop attachment. But gradually, all that, if we take responsibility for Krishna, then gradually our attachment shifts to Krishna. And this is how the mind becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada says, at the state of Nista, gradually by this process of devotional service, by hearing, by chanting, and always trying to remember Krishna, gradually we come to Nista. Srila Prabhupada said, Nista means 60-70% purified. So the attachment to Krishna is greater than the attachment to Maya. In Nista, one is still attached to both. Still attached to Krishna. Still attached to Maya at the same time. But 70% Krishna. So more to Krishna. And therefore, at Nista, one can focus better and make a conscious endeavor to always remember Krishna, never forget him. And as we are doing so, then taste will follow more and more. Until we come to a point where we really, from our heart, desire to always hear about Krishna. And if we, and if the circumstances kind of don't allow that, we just feel like not satisfied. Not satisfied. Then when we are, well, for example, traveling to India to the Holy Dham, and on the way we have to see mundane movies on the plane, then we have no interest. Then we don't think, oh, well, you know, yes, I'll take the headphones, right? No, say, forget these rubbish headphones, forget this rubbish movie, right? I just want Vrindavan. I just want Krishna. Like that. And we rather listen to a lecture about Krishna. Somehow or other, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna nisevya, to somehow or other fix the mind on Krishna. And in this way, in spiritual life, one may, even when one comes beyond nista to the stage of ruchi, where one has tastes, still one may have taste, but one may still struggle with the material energy. But if one goes on deeper and deeper, the attachment to Krishna grows until one becomes actually deeply attached to Krishna, to the stage of ashakti. Then still, it can go further. Where one becomes so much absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna and relishing so much that one actually becomes carried away by this relishing. Then it's bhava, ecstasy. Then it's ecstasy, devotional service in ecstasy. It said, but even in bhava, it is said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one is still experiencing some suffering in the material world. And one is still finding that there are obstacles in the material world. But when one comes to the stage of full perfection, the stage of love of God, Krishna Prem, then one will not experience any more suffering or any obstacle in this world. So is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. That's of course something to meditate on. Not maybe so easy to realize for us. Right? But then we can think of devotees like Madhavendra Puri, who were just sitting there, and Madhavendra Puri had taken a vow that he would not make any arrangement for his food. Nothing. He just wouldn't make any arrangement. He would simply just eat only if somehow or other it would come on its own. And he was not in anxiety. If we would try to follow that vow, we would be thinking the whole day, oh my God, I really hope somebody's going to come. How long is this going to take? I'm getting hungry now. Krishna, please send somebody. I mean, Krishna, I'm doing this for you, but I'm sick like anything. Please, you know, I can't even chant my rounds. I could just imagine myself sitting there imitating Madhavendra Puri, right? I wouldn't be thinking of Madhavendra Puri, I would be thinking of Sabji and Puri, right? That would be me, right? Yes. What shall I say? But Madhavendra Puri was thinking of Krishna, not making any arrangements to eat and just thinking of Krishna. And then one cowherd boy came and brought some milk in a pot and said, oh, I heard you were fasting, so I'm coming to bring some milk. How did you know I was fasting? He said, oh, the ladies in the village told me, and in our village no one fasts. He said, came to bring some milk. You please take. I'll come back later to pick up the pot. Such a nice boy. Madhavendra Puri drank the milk. It was nectar. And he was waiting and waiting for that boy to return. But the boy never returned. Later, in the middle of the night, he just dozed off for a short moment in the middle of his chanting. And he had a little dream. And in that dream, he saw that the same boy returned and said that I've been lying here in the bushes for such a long time. Please, please come and take me out. I am hungry. Please come and relieve me from this. Call all the villagers, take them here and dig me out and properly take care of me. Then Madhavendrapuri woke up and he realized that it was Krishna who brought me that milk. And I didn't recognize him. Those are the things that happen when you get on that level. Yeah? Then Krishna comes personally and so on. We hear such amazing stories. We may not be on that level, but just to hear about such devotees like Madhavendrapuri is so inspiring that we also say, okay, I'm going to get more serious. I'm going to get more serious about my spiritual life. And the result is that we say, maybe I'm attracted to Maya, but I'm not going to pay attention to it. Forget it, Maya. You know, you're not worth it. You may look good, but you're not worth it. I'll stick with Krishna. We get courage. We get strength from hearing about Madhavendrapuri. And in this way, we carry on with our 16 rounds, our four regulative principles, and trying to dedicate our life to Krishna. And that's enough. That's enough to get the mercy. To get the mercy. That's enough. That's enough. We need not worry. Surely then, we'll get the mercy of Krishna. We got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Surely we'll get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, without a doubt. Why? Because Prabhupada desired it so, because Lord Chaitanya is so kind and merciful, because Srila Prabhupada said 16 rounds. 16 rounds. Why we have to chant 16 rounds? Because it is the number by which the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya is available. Can't I chant 12 rounds? It's just too much for me, 16. I can't do it. I do 8. Already for 8 years now, I've been chanting 8 rounds. Well, how about going for number 9 in the 9th year? Right? At least then after 16 years, you'll be on 16 rounds. Because without 16 rounds, it's like this. The boat comes. There it is. All passengers on board. Yes. We are now crossing the ocean of nescience. Yes. Okay, please show your 16 rounds. Okay, yes, in. 4 regulated, 16 rounds. Yes, on board. 12 rounds. Okay, yeah, okay. After. And then you can stand there looking at the boat and wave all those devotees goodbye, you know, as they go on their journey. And you can come back next time. Well, you can board when the boat comes back next time. So, yeah, it's like that. Huh? We must somehow or other come up to that level. It's not optional. It's not an optional thing. It has nothing to do with taste. Some people say, yeah, but I just don't have a taste for chanting. I don't know what it is. I don't like it. I couldn't care less, even if you hate it. Right? But still, it must be done. Because you must understand it. Yeah, it's not a matter of liking or disliking. You must understand the need, the great urgent need, because we must get out of this material world. We must do it. We must. We're not going to stay here and suffer life after life. Be kicked by Maya. Maya's a witch. She has a trident. And she throws you some enjoyment, and just when you're enjoying, then she stabs you. Just like that. Just like threefold miseries. Miseries of body and mind, miseries of other living beings, miseries of the demigods. Are you ready for material life? No problem. Just be ready to get stabbed again and again. Ready? It's the package is there. Where any you want to be rich, no problem. But rich men, they get stabbed also. Everyone gets stabbed. So let's get out of here. Maya is a witch. No good. But the only way out is, where are my beads here? It's by chanting, by devotional service. So I'm thinking like this, somehow or other, let us look for purification. And then the mind will become our friend and help us to remember Krishna. Okay, that was a long story. Now, some questions, some comments, Maharaj. Or top hospital. Yeah, that's. I remember that I met a devotee in Vrindavan who was from my country, yeah? And he was sitting there chanting, and I'm greeting him, and he looks at me so strange, very strange. Right? So I said, I greet him again. I said, "Are you all right? You know." And he says, "Who are you?" And I'm thinking, he's lost his memory. Right? I mean, I know him I've known him for so many years, and now he says, "Who are you?" So I said to him, "Who are you?" Right? And then he didn't know who he was. But still he was chanting. He was chanting. He hadn't lost that part of his identity. He was still a devotee chanting, but he didn't know who he was. So then I said to him in Dutch, I said, "I know who you are because I speak to you in Dutch and you understand." Then he was very shocked. He's sitting in Vrindavan in the guest house lobby and suddenly lost his memory. It happened, but he was still chanting. Yeah. Yes, it goes very deep. Very deep. It doesn't just go away. Anyone? No, it's not really. Not so much is described, so I'm not really sure, but they were dead. It wasn't that they were almost dead, they were dead. They were actually dead, yeah. Huh? But that's how it's described, they were dead. So that must have been quite something, right? They weren't playing dead, they were not unconscious, they were actually dead, but Krishna just revived them. He can do that. So dead means they left the body. They were somewhere else. That's dead. Well, they were in Vrindavan. It was in this material world, so I guess they had material bodies, yes. Yeah. Yeah. In the spiritual world, they're racing around on Kaliya's back, but in the material world, they actually die. Well,
anyone. Okay, well, okay, yes, yes.
Yeah, I think that one shouldn't look for too much meaning in the kirtan, a symbolic or deeper meaning, and looking for, I'm trying to find Krishna. I think we should just relish the chanting itself, just get absorbed, just partake. It's like the other day, someone had recorded one of my kirtans, and when I listened to it, I couldn't listen to it. It was too much, you know. I go like, oh God, you know, too intense, right? It was too intense, too wild. And I was like, I need something more peaceful. I can't listen to this, right? But when I'm doing it, I have no problem with it. Right? I can do it. I can get into it. So it's not a musical experience where it's a concert and you listen to it, you have to actually just become absorbed in just calling out the name of Krishna with enthusiasm. It's just that's the main thing. Just be there. Don't be the wallflower who stands sort of like as far away from the center of the kirtan. No, just be there where people get into it. Then surely the taste will be there. Right? It's like that. You have to partake in it. It's definitely not something to... I'm not saying that it's not nice to listen to kirtans, but still it's different, listening to them from a distance and partaking in them. Definitely in the partaking. Yes. Stabbing, not the demigods. No, I'll explain it to you again. It's Maya. Yes. So who is Maya? Maya is like the presiding deity for the material world. She has 10 arms with which she controls the 10 directions. She rides on a tiger. She has this trident in her hand, in one of her hands. And this trident has three points. One point is for suffering of the mind and body. One point is for suffering from others. And one point is for suffering from the demigods. Suffering from the demigods means the weather, for example. Or natural circumstances that are under control of the demigods. An earthquake or whatever. Suffering from those things. So Maya is controlling these things and using these things. And she will stab us with these things just when... But first, she will throw some opportunity. Wow! That's my dream opportunity. Oh, I can't say no to this one. Oh, no, this one. I can't let this one go by. Yes, and there you go. Dream, dream, dream. Dreamy, dreamy, dream. Come true. And then, that was mean. That was nasty. Right? God. Please. And we sort of we get over the pain and sort of think, what now? Then some people, they say, well, but it's too good to give up. And after a while, get stabbed again. Anyway, you get used to it. It's not so bad, you know. It hurts a little bit every once in a while. But I'm not going to let go of this opportunity. Oh, you're so sweet. My dreamy, dreamy dream. Yeah. So Maya's two potencies. throwing potencies, she throws opportunities, and covering potency, that even although we suffer, we still think, how can I give this up? Yeah, so, but if we take shelter of Krishna, then Maya goes at a distance. She cannot come near. So that's what will protect us. So an intelligent person says, yeah, this looks like a real good opportunity, but wait a minute, I know what's behind this one. It's like, it's the hook. There's a hook. There's always a hook. No thanks. No thanks. I'm not going for it. I'll stick with Krishna. Then that witch Maya, who uses the material energy, will stay at a distance. No, no. A trident is not just a holy weapon. Holy personalities use tridents. Demons use also tridents. It's just a weapon, like a sword, a knife. A weapon is a weapon. A knife is a knife. It can be used for negative purposes. It can be used to save a life. So trident is the same thing. Trident is neutral in itself. In the hands of Maya, that trident is intense. I'm sure you know that trident. We all know that trident. We've all felt the stab sometimes. Too many times. Yeah, thank you very much. Well, I will be back here. Will I be back here tomorrow? I will be back here tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much. Tapas knows the future. So at least I will live till tomorrow. That's a reassurance. I'm going to have some good sleep in between. And then I hope to see you again tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.